Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Up, church. Happy New Year. Happy Christmas if I didn't see you for Christmas. We are really, really, really glad that you guys are in the house today. You picked an incredible day to be in the house. Dan already mentioned to you, we're kicking off our 21 days of prayer. How many of you guys already got your guide already? You got your guide already? Just throw it up in the air like you just don't care. Like anybody got their guide? Cool. If you don't have one, you're good to go. When you leave today, you'll get a guide that looks like this. This will be your manual for the next 21 days. I know a lot of you guys, you work for different places and they give you a manual. This is your manual. If you're going to follow Jesus, and you're gonna grow this year, you're gonna continue to grow this year, you're gonna need one of these guides because this is the way that we kick off our year. We kick off our year spiritually. We wanna grow spiritually. And so we wanna encourage you to grab this book when you go out, when you leave. There's a few components that we want you guys to I wanna talk about for just a few moments. I got a little bit of a commercial, and then I wanna preach to you guys out of a passage of scripture that God's been using to speak to me recently. But this is gonna have, there's gonna be several components for this 21 days of prayer. And the first component is prayer. We're going to pray. Now I'm going to pray. Now we're going to pray. All of us are going to pray. Now some people are going to pray. We are all going to pray together over the next 21 days. We're going to pray together collectively because when we pray together collectively, God hears our voices. We hear our voices when we're by ourselves. When we come together, God hears the prayers of his people. So I want to encourage you. We're going to pray together and we're going to help you with what to pray, okay? And so tomorrow morning, Monday through Friday at 6:30, we're going to be on Facebook Live together. I'm sorry for all of you guys that are younger and you're on TikTok only and on Instagram only, but for all of us old people, we're going to wake up at 6:30 anyways. If you're on TikTok, you're not going to wake up at 6:30 anyways. I'm just kidding. No judgment. Use your mom and dad's login. But we're going to be together tomorrow, Monday through Friday at 6:30. We're going to pray together, and we're going to read through Scripture together. And the Scripture that we're going to read through is going to be in this passage of Scripture. And when you get online tomorrow morning, you're going to hear us. You're going to hear us use this phrase. We're going to soak through this scripture, which is scripture, observation, application, and prayer. We're going to walk through a piece of scripture. We're going to make some observations. We're going to make some application to our life. Because how many of you guys know this? If you don't apply the scripture to your life, no life change is going to happen. If you don't apply, if you have a gym, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but if you, just because you have a gym membership does not make you in shape. Come on, somebody. Just because you have a water bottle doesn't mean you drink water. Just because you have 18 Stanley Cups, it doesn't mean you're hydrated. We actually have at our house, we need like a Stanley parking spot at our house. There's so many. I told my daughter, I was like, how many hands do you have? She's like, Dad, I got two hands. I said, sweetheart, this is called logic. Are you ready for it? She's like, yeah, I'm ready for it, Dad. She's nine. I go, all you need is two Stanleys because that's all you can. She goes, Dad, I need one in every color. I'm like, no, ma'am. You're what's wrong with America. You're the problem. You know, like. But we're gonna get up together and we're gonna pray together. We're gonna read the scripture together. So scripture, observation, application, prayer. That is the tutorial for some of you guys who are not gonna get online with us tomorrow morning. Some of you guys are thinking right now, well, that's too early. You need to meet God early in the morning. It's a good idea. Now you don't have to always, but it's a good idea to meet God early in the morning. And there'll be other people on that Facebook Live. You'll see us commenting and sharing and retweeting and giving each other high fives and hearts. And it'll be like a little mini sermon. We want to encourage you to be on the Monday through Friday. That'll be at 6:30. It'll be about 20 minutes of your time. It's going to be incredible. Different pastors and different leaders will be leading those. I always lead Mondays because I don't think our staff wakes up really good on Monday morning. You know what I'm saying? I'm not judging them, but I trust me. You know what I'm saying? So I wake up, I always lead the Monday morning one. And there'll be different leaders. So it'll be scripture, observation, application, prayer. The scripture that you need is already in this book. You can write in this, take notes. We want to encourage you. We really want you to grow this year. So there'll be a prayer element. There'll be scripture. And then this will be the done, done, done. There will be fasting involved. Done, done, done. The Bible tells us that the Bible actually says when you fast. Followers of Jesus, we are supposed to fast. And everyone can fast at whatever level you feel like it's fast. Pastor Chris has told me the last 2 years, I love that you're not so legalistic in the fasting. I love that you're not so legalistic in the fasting. You want to fast something in your life. You want to fast something in your life. What I have seen in my life that when you fast food, when you not go to fast food. I know some of you are like, I can do that. I can do fast food. Some of y'all, all you heard was fast food for the next 21 days. You're like, yes, Pastor. You almost started speaking in tongues. You're so excited. You're like, dude, I'm in. You're gonna fast food or fast a meal. Me and about 20 other people, we do what's called the Daniel fast. Now in scripture, in the Old Testament, there's a man named Daniel, and he goes to the king, and the king is, they're taken, they're kind of captives, they're being made to be in part of this, in this army. And Daniel says to the king, King, we're not gonna eat the king's meat or the king's wine. Now the other guys, the king's squad, they were like on the LeBron James diet. Good steak, good wine. Like that's how they lived, and they were jacked and they were shredded and they were like the top of the top when it comes to elite athlete, at least athletic looking. And Daniel was like, we're gonna eat fruits, vegetables, and water only. That's what we're gonna do. And that's what we're gonna do. And then at the end of the bulking season, or at the end of the cycle, Jeremy, they're like, if we look as good as they look, or if we are strong and we're as good, they're like, leave us alone because we're gonna trust God. We're gonna pray and we're gonna trust God. And so they ate fruits, vegetables, and water. And at the end of the deal, they look good. They were strong. They were like, fine, you'll be fine. You can stay on that diet. So we do 21 days. And here's what I wanna encourage a lot of you guys in here today. Some of you guys in here today, you're like, that is too long. I could never fast for 21 days. I want to encourage you, if you thought you could never fast for 21 days, I want to encourage you to try 7 days. Just to try 7 days. Or maybe you're like, Pastor West, that's too hard for me. Maybe you want to just try one or two meals a day. Maybe you're just going to eat dinner. You're going to skip breakfast, skip lunch. And I'm going to encourage you, when you feel those hunger pains, because you will feel them. Some of you guys are going to go, the Daniel fast, fruits, vegetables, water, it's no caffeine. The list of no's is long. It's basically fruits, vegetables, water. I do, and a handful of people do no caffeine also during that season also. That sounds, some of you guys are like, I can't do that. No caffeine, Pastor West, I live on caffeine. I want to go on record to say I've already gone. I started early. I'm 4 days with no caffeine, and I'm here to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? So I will encourage you, it's too late for you for next year. You want to wean yourself off of it. You want to just kind of take it down to like a nice little slow drip, you know what I'm saying? And so I haven't had caffeine for 4 days, and I just want to encourage you, the headache is going to be miserable, but pray, a lot of water, pray. If you need some pro tips for the fast, the Daniel fast, message me later. You'll be surprised how you can live. Some of you guys have done a whole 30 diet before. All that feels like a commercial, but here's what I want you guys to know. If you pray and you read your Bible and you fast, things change. Some of you young people in here today, Pastor Wes, I couldn't give up caffeine. Some of y'all need to give up TikTok for 21 days. Pastor Wes, that's how I communicate with the world. You're gonna be fine, I promise you. Some of you guys in here today, you may need to fast. Maybe you're like, for my kids, they fast caffeine for 21 days, or they fast soda. Or maybe some of you kids in here today, students, or maybe some of you grown men, you need to fast your electronics. So no video games for 21 days. And when you feel that crack fiend, like, I gotta get it, just go to God and pray, okay? So here's what I wanna say to you. This is not religion. The fasting is not religious. I remember one year, I went to go take communion, and somebody was like, Pastor West, that has sugar in it. I'm like, it's relax. You know, tell that person, relax. This is a spiritual journey. It's gonna look different for all of you guys. Many people will do Daniel fast. Many people won't do the Daniel fast. Well, Pastor West, I have kids. I get all the problems why you can't do it. If you have a dietary restriction, don't walk out here and go, I'm not a spiritual Christian if I don't fast. It ain't like that. That's not the way God designed it to be. And so there's a lot in here about fasting and praying and scripture. And then lastly, the fourth component is a community component. So tomorrow morning we'll be all together. Saturday morning in our conference room over here, usually 30 to 40 of us gather, and we pray together from 8:30 to about 9 or 9:30. And you're like, well, Pastor West, I don't know how to pray. Just come and watch. Just come be a part of it. And when you fast, and when you pray, and when you read scripture, and when you do it with other people, you'll be surprised how much momentum you can gain. So maybe you wanna try 7 days. I remember the year you said you couldn't do it, but then the next year, like, I'm gonna try it. Just if you said I can't do it, just try it this year and just see what happens. And see what you can do. I know some people, I don't do this, but I know some people that on the fast, they on the Daniel fast, they eat Chick-fil-A french fries. So if you need a little bit of help on that, it's potatoes and it's salt. And apparently it's fine. So that's what they do. But to each their own, okay? Just be on the journey. Be praying. Be spending time with God. Anytime you feel that pain come alongside of you, go. I want to give you this quote. Courtney, keep that quote up there. My tablet died, and so I don't know. I'm going to preach tonight, but it's hard to get in shape spiritually if you only work out on Sundays. Y'all didn't like that, I know. Someone went, ugh. It is hard. It's hard to get in shape spiritually if you only work out on Sundays. Having a membership won't give you abs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to participate in it. So I want to encourage you, if you're trying to follow Jesus and you're trying to grow close to God, pray more. Try fasting for the first time. I used to watch my dad fast and go, what are you doing? Why would you do that? And I think this, this is me personally, the gains I get in January help me through the whole entire year. There's something about, there's an impartation that happens in January for me that gets me going for the rest of the year. So I just want to encourage you, it is hard to get in shape spiritually if you only work out on Sunday. You need to read the Bible tomorrow. You need to read the Bible Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday. You need to read until you come back here next week. You need to pray. Hopefully not the only time you pray is when you're at this church. Pastor, I don't know what to say. Start talking to God the way you're having a conversation with him. We're going to, last commercial, and I'm going to get into the scripture. We sold out of these books today. We sold 30 of these books today. They're called Danish Prayers. There's three prayers in this book. The pastor, Craig Rochelle, that wrote this book, he preached a sermon series years ago, and he had three thoughts, and they were, the first one was search me, was the prayer, search me. The second one was break me, week two, and the third one was send me. Search me, and then break me, and then send me. And then years later, fast forward, he wrote this book. We sold 30 of these books today. We didn't make any money on it. You can go to Amazon today, and you can buy this book. It's called Dangerous Prayers. I want to encourage you to read this book. You'll be surprised what God will speak to you just through the pages of this book. Listen, the more you get involved with it, with the Bible and praying and reading spiritual literature, you're going to be surprised what kind of formation that's going to happen. It's like if you start working out, then it's inevitable you're going to change what you consume. You're going to change your diet. It's going to become an effect. I saw Caroline post the other day. She started working out, and she started working out this year, and she's working out a lot. And then yesterday she ran for an hour straight. And when you train your body physically, it also helps your cardio and you begin to run. So I just want to encourage you, start the journey. Just see what God will do. Just see what God will do. Week one today, dangerous prayer number one is search me. Search me. We get that from Psalms chapter 139. I want to read a passage of scripture over you today that I believe will help you. Psalms 139, verse 1, the Bible says, "Oh Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me." Here's what I want you to know today, that in this room here today, every single one of you, you need an x-ray. You need to be searched. I had my son this week, he's nine. Him and Tripp were playing football in the backyard, and the football went into his pinky and he jammed it. And it was like, it was terrible. He was miserable. He was crying. I'm like, dude, I'm like typical dad, old school dad, 90s dad. Like, you suck it up, you little pansy. I'm giving him all that stuff, you know? And he's like, I can't suck it up, dad. It's broken, you know? Like, he's just crying. I'm like, come on. He's like, so I go to Diane. I'm like, babe, he's not stopping. Like, I have to take him to the doctor. And like, I don't remember. Our parents were like, just take some Robitussin, you know? Like, there was no go to the doctor. There was just like, dude, suck it up. You know what I'm saying? My mom got some pantyhose, and she just wrapped our knee up with her pantyhose, you know? I'm like, mom, it's still better. She's like, oh, it's going to make it better, you know? Like, you just didn't know. You just did whatever your parents told you. Well, we had to go get an x-ray. And I was sitting there, and this is a curse of being a pastor. You're always thinking about, how can I make this a sermon illustration? And here's the sermon illustration I got. Some of you guys in here today, you've been going to WebMD. You've been making concoctions on how to make your life better. But what you really need, you need an x-ray. WebMD ain't going to change your life. You need to be searched. And some of you guys are like, I don't want to be searched. We live in a culture where we don't like to be searched. I would like to go on record with the police officer in the room in here today, the Orange County deputy, is I've been pulled over before going 95 plus miles an hour. I'm so thankful today as a pastor and a godly man. I was in the passenger seat, and I was with the driver. And the driver was going, whenever the driver saw the cop coming, he got over, hit the brakes so fast, the cop was going so fast, the cop passed us. Come on, how many of you know we were going fast and he was going fast? That cop pulled us over, and I'm going to spare you all the details. I didn't get arrested. The guy next to me got arrested. They put him in the front seat of the cop car, and they said, what's in the trunk? Well, we had flew to Missouri to pick up a vehicle and drive it down for a pastor. So here's the worst things that you never want to say this to a cop when they ask you what's in the trunk. I don't know. Just going to give you a heads up. If you know, you want to know. So now, anytime I borrow someone's car, I'm like, what you got in the trunk? You know what I'm saying? Because your boy ain't trying to go to jail. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to live a long, prosperous life. What's the trunk? I said, I don't know. I'm not sure. My buddy's cuffed in the back. I'm in this car. And fast forward to the version, they do what's called a catch and release. I don't know if you know what that is. But that's where they catch you, and they have you in handcuffs, and they release you. And there's a very, very funny pastoral story I could tell you about how it all happened. And it was the favor of God. I don't know. I could tell you all those things. But the reality is this, is that some of us in here today, you need to be searched. You need to be searched. Because you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't got any community in your life helping you grow in your spiritual life, then they're not able to tell you what you need to know. But you need to be searched. It's uncomfortable. But what I've noticed is that your life is better after you're searched. You need an x-ray. I'm so glad I didn't tell my son, hey son, you'll be fine. I had a buddy of mine text me last night, Pastor West, please pray for my son. He broke his arm, he cut off circulation, his arm went cold. They had to life flight him from his house to the hospital. 8 years old, today it's his kid's birthday, this happened yesterday. Well, I'm so glad he was like, well son, suck it up. That kid's arm would be, how many of you know, this morning that kid's arm would be amputated, he lost blood flow. They were gonna do this incredible surgery, and the surgeons took really good care of him, and they were able to get his arm back together, the flow going. But like, sometimes you need x-ray, and then after an x-ray, you need to have surgery. Some of y'all, you need surgery. And it's not because I think you need it, but it's because everyone around you needs you to have surgery. You need you to have surgery. You need to be searched, x-rayed, and then God can begin to put you back together. My friend Jordan's here today. He's had three surgeries this year. Three, right? Three surgeries this year. Major reconstruction on the knee, just this past one. He had one a few weeks ago I didn't know about. I'm like, what's up, bro? I'm like, hit him on his back. His wife's like, that's where they went in at. You kid you not. Like, I didn't know. But his knee wouldn't have got better if he's like, oh, I'm just gonna pray over it, Pastor Wes. Sometimes you need to be x-rayed, you need surgery, and then you need God to put you back together. Psalms 139 is a look into what that looks like. Are you ready for it? Psalms 139, verse 1. Oh, Lord, you've examined my heart, and you know everything about me. Isn't it crazy? I know a lot about you. You may know a lot about me, but no one knows you like God knows you. He knows this. We all have a pocket inside of all of us or a list of things I wish nobody would know about me. God knows that. Things I should have never have done that I hope nobody here finds out that I did. God knows that. When you're by yourself, he knows, in private and public. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. I love this verbiage, even when I'm far away. The Bible says God never leaves us, never forsakes, but sometimes we wander away from him. When you're away from him, he knows you. He knows you so well. He knows you better than you know yourself. I don't even know when I'm going to sit down next. But my Bible tells me God knows David goes, God, you know when I sit up, when I stand down. You see me when I travel, and you see me when I rest at home. You know everything that I do, everything that I think. You know that. Verse 4 says, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it. Now, I have a problem with that passage of scripture. I wish God would give me a pager that right before I was about to say something that I shouldn't say, which happens. That's what I'm going to fast in 21 days. I'm going to fast saying things I shouldn't say. Sometimes I know I shouldn't say it, but I'm like, it just feels good to say. I'm going to get this off my chest. I'm going to say it. I wish that God gave me a pager. Hey, you shouldn't say that. A little zap. And I'd be like, okay, I will. Don't say that. God knows everything that I'm going to say even before I say that. Husbands, wouldn't you like to have that? Husbands, don't you have a... Would you wish your wife had that? No, I'm kidding. What are you doing? My wife goes, what are you doing? I'm going, my first thought is, this looks like common sense to me. That's what I first think. And then I eventually again explain to her what I'm doing. You know what I'm going to say? You go, now only God can do this. You go before me and you follow me. I mean, This text, by the way, I said this in first service. This is Psalms 139. You need to get this in your system. This preaches really well for me because I've been wrestling with Psalms 139 for several months now. God's been like working me over with this, just these 24 or 25 verses. Just over and over again, had a guy call me this week. He was saying, you know, Pastor Russ, I'm really, really struggling with this. I'm like, you need to come on Sunday because I'm going to talk about that in Psalms 139 talks about it. David, God talks about that. Verse 5, you go before me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Daniel just mentioned that a few moments ago. We don't have to beg for bread. You put a hand of blessing on my head. Verse 6, I love verse 6. Such knowledge is just too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. God is dumping out all this knowledge, all this wisdom, all this blessing, and we can't even process it. Now, only God would do that, because if I thought you couldn't process something, I wouldn't tell it to you. I'm so glad you guys are here on the front row. Marcus and Lily, I've known them for almost 5 years. We have waged war together. We've prayed through things before. There were things that there was conflicts that they had with the Bible, that we had with the Bible. And for like years, we just kept on praying through it. There was things that I couldn't tell them at year one, that I told them at year two, that I told them at year three. But the Bible, I'm so glad it takes time. But God says there are things that you're not quite ready to handle yet, but I'm still going to dump it out on you. That's how much he loves you. I would just hold it back. I was in Georgia this past week, and my brother-in-law has a neighbor, and he has another house that he has 35 like high-end cars in. So we got in the car, we drove to see his Porsches and all kinds of old school cars and new school cars and Corvettes and Ferrari. I mean, this guy, all the top. I mean, it was millions of dollars of vehicles in one room. And my brother-in-law goes, I gotta call Marty. Marty loves cars. Marty didn't answer the phone call. I'm like, dude, he missed out. You want to show, when you have something so marvelous, you want to show that. The Bible says, I've got so much for you. I'm going to give it to you. Even though you can't quite process it yet, I'm going to dump it all on you. And eventually you're going to be able to begin to process it. Eventually those enzymes are going to break it down so you can be able to understand it and get it. And that's why it's important to come every single week. But it's also important why you got to read the Bible on your own, and you got to pray on your own, and you got to fast on your own. You got to be in a group to help people talk about Scripture, because you're processing. You're going to help. You need help downloading all of it. I've watched Marty grow the last few years, and Marty goes, Pastor West, I'm not quite getting it. The Scripture thing. Can you get me a book? Oh yeah, I can get you a book. I got in this book, helps break down Scripture. Like, you need people to help you come around inside you. God says, I'm going to dump all this on you, but you're going to have to process it. My friend Megan is here today. She lives over in the Panhandle. She's here to visit a friend from North Carolina. They're meeting for soccer, but she came to church today. I discipled Megan for a few years, and then she began to disciple my 4-year-old daughter. But God's dumped all his love on her, and he's dumped all his love on Hope, and she began to process Scripture with me and Diana and our community, and now she is sharing the Scripture with my daughter, and she shares Scripture with her daughter. But you need all of that. God goes, I've dumped all of this on you, and you can begin to process it. How wonderful is all this knowledge? Too great for me to even understand. It gets better, believe it or not. I can never escape from God's Spirit. I can never get away from your presence, God. If I go up to heaven, you're right there. If I go down to the grave, another translation says Sheol, or another translation says hell. He says, if I go to hell, you're there with me. Di and I had a problem with that. We're like, can God really go to hell? And the Bible's not talking about literal hell down there or wherever it's at. It's talking about a literal place called Sheol. And then figuratively speaking, you could go to the worst place. You can go to the deepest of your depression, the deepest place, the deepest, darkest sin. The Bible says, I'm going to chase you down there. Only God could do that. If you're going to chase sin, you know what I have a propensity to do? I'm like, hey, enjoy that. Here's what I always preach about sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. You want to go chase that, that's on you, but you're not going to like it. You will come back. But the Bible, I'm not going to chase you, but my Bible tells me that God's going to go with you. And the whole entire time he's going to be just pulling you back. Now we get to New Testament, it does talk about quenching the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says he's going to go with you. God is always trying to draw you back to him. The enemy is always trying to pull you away from God. verse 8. If I go to heaven, you're there. Verse 9. I like verse 9. It feels good. If I ride the wings of the morning. That's the Eagles reference, I feel like. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Some of you on here today, the reason why you need to be searched is because you're doing a really good job of taking care of yourself to the point where you don't need God to take care of you. Like, I'm good. I got me. I've traveled the world and I've been to a lot of places, and we're going to take you guys to some places this year. We're opening back trips up again. We have some trips scheduled before COVID, but we're going to open them back up this year. We're going to take a trip across town this year, and we're going to help people who are struggling with addiction, but we're also going to take some trips to Africa and to some other countries. It's going to be awesome. Costa Rica is one of the places, but I've been places where they got nothing, and all they got is God. We've got, if you have an emergency, you go to your emergency fund. If you got an emergency, you may call a friend. If you're hungry, you can't remember the last time you were hungry because you didn't have access to food. You were just hungry because your app didn't work on Uber brings your food. I don't use it. What's it called? DoorDash. Yeah. Like, that's first world problems, right? Like, we don't eat because my kid's like, I'm hungry. There's nothing in the fridge. I'm like, go to the fridge, open it. There's like stuff for days in there. Oh, you don't like what's in there, but you have access to food. He says here, man, he can take care. David goes, God, you can take care of me. Like, you can help me. Like, you can go before me. He goes, even your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. You're going to need God's strength and support in the next 20 days, because the moment you wake up tomorrow, or the moment you go to the grocery store today and you start buying supplies for Daniel Fast, whatever, the enemy's like, oh, they're mine. The enemy's like, oh, I didn't know they were doing Daniel Fast. I'm going after them. You put a target. The more you follow Jesus, this would be really fun. You brought a visitor today. The more you follow Jesus, the more the devil hates you. Some of you are like, well, I just want to follow Jesus. That's worse. I'd rather follow Jesus with a target on my back than not follow Jesus and go to hell. Or go through life on earth without the peace that passes all understanding. All that God has for us. We talked about it in October. He's Jireh. He's Nisi. I mean, his list of names is everlasting. I mean, the list goes on. Verse 11. I could ask, listen, check this David out. David goes, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. You can't hide from God. Some of you guys, you're here because you got tired of hiding from God. You thought, well, I'm not going to go to church. I'm going to stay home. He was there with you. You're like, I'll give it a shot. I'm going to come in today. And you're here. You're going to start off. By the way, you got perfect attendance for church this year. Come on, make a record. Like, let's link it together. Let's link this thing together. By the way, 92% of New Year's resolutions fail. But this right here, God's word, it'll never fail you. Spending time with God, God's word, prayer, scripture, and fasting, you won't get to the end of that and go, Pastor West, that was a waste of my time. You go all in with God, you won't go, man, I don't know why I did that. You're gonna go, dang, I'm glad I did that. And it's gonna continue. It's gonna continue. It's gonna continue. It's gonna continue. It'll keep on continuing. Oh, Pastor West, I don't want to get up early on Saturday morning. That's my only day to sleep in. You come get some God, you'll have an energy that you'll never even be able to explain. You wake up at 6:30 tomorrow morning, and whether you're dressed, undressed, barely asleep, fully awake, whether you're a chipper, hyper person, or you're just like dead person, you start listening to scripture, you start people commenting on the scripture, it's going to begin to fill you up. God can begin to fill you up. Verse 11, you can't even hide. You can't hide from, listen to this, to you the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same. God's eyes are, he's got 20/20 vision. He don't need a night light. Come on, that's Wesley translation. Verse 13, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Some of you guys need that for your biblical worldview. By the way, you ought to have a biblical worldview, by the way. You ought to have a biblical worldview, which where you look at the world through the Bible. This verse, the Bible says, this is one of those verses. This actually, Psalms 139 will give you a good biblical worldview. Begin to read it, pray over it. You made all the delicate innermost parts of my body, knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 14. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. You ever wonder why your spouse was complex? This verse. you'd be like, God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. We're all complex. He made us so complex. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know. David goes, I've been studying you, God. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in God's book. Every day of your life is recorded. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Verse 17, how precious are your thoughts about you, about me. By the way, this is for someone that you need to hear this. God's thoughts are precious for you. I grew up, somehow I missed it, I don't know, but I had this version of God where he had this big stick and he was over me ready for me to mess up. That was my version of God. The Bible says that his thoughts are marvelous for me. I'm running away from him in dark places and he's chasing me. My thoughts are atrocious and he's following me. I'm working, by the way, I don't know how bad your year was, but in 1 year, David committed adultery with his commander of his army, and then he had that guy murdered. Adultery, murder, in the same year. That's a rough year. And this isn't like a cute little Bible verse. These aren't like lightly. David's going, I've been in it. I've gone through some stuff. Then he writes Psalms 51. If you had a tough year of sin, David was just, every level of sin just took him deeper and deeper and deeper. He writes Psalms 51. It's a great, beautiful restoration scripture. Where in that Psalms 51, verse 10, he goes, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If you've been running from God this year, I want to let you know, his thoughts are marvelous for you. He's been chasing you. You can't even find your way back to him. He's going to come find you. You're in a good place today. How precious are your thoughts about me, oh God? They cannot even be numbered. Verse 18, I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. You ever wake up before and someone that you loved was gone? It was a different day. The Bible says, David goes, every time I've ever woke up, God, you've been right there waiting for me. I had a girl in our youth group. She was about 20 years old, 17, 18 years old. Her dad walked in. She had a 17-year-old sister and 18. It was a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old. They were senior and junior in high school. And their dad brought them suitcases and said, hey, we're getting evicted. And tomorrow, when you wake up, you got to go somewhere else. And they go, we'll go with you. He goes, well, you can't go with me because I don't even know where I'm going to go. Could you imagine? Maybe some of you guys can imagine that. They woke up, had no place to go. They had to go find their own place. The Bible says that when you wake up tomorrow, I don't care how lonely you are, the Bible says that God's always right there with you. Isn't this such a good scripture? There's so much truth in it. Verse 19, oh God, here's for all the real people. Here's what David says. Oh God, in verse 19, if you would destroy all the wicked people in my life, just kill them. That's dark, right? Anybody ever thought that about their mother-in-law? I'm kidding. Not that deep. Like, they'd get out of the way, you know what I'm saying? So he goes, I love my mom, by the way. I love my mom. Keep going. My enemies, they blaspheme you. Your enemies, they misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with a total hatred. For your enemies are my enemies. Verse 23. Search me, oh God. He goes, start off this way. I want to end this with this way again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know all my anxious thoughts. I'm reading a book about anxiety right now, and I know that's a big thing in our society today. And I want to encourage you today, if you're struggling with anxiety, David struggled with that. He said, I have anxious thoughts. If you have anxious thoughts, you're in.
I'm just trying both of these. How's this one? I'm going to take this one back. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. I just want to say that I'm glad it works. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Here's what David says. This is real. This is why we need to be searched. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me to the path of everlasting. You need to be searched. I need to be searched. I like going on walks because I get to talk to God. It's where God searches me the most at. You need to be searched. You and I have to be searched. And when we're searched, God can reveal all the things that need to change, and then he can begin to change. You need to be searched. We're going to take communion together today. Anybody not have communion, we're going to bring it to you. Just throw your hand up really high up here, Danielle. We want to make sure you got it. The murdering your mother-in-law comment, I just want that erased from the record, all right? So that. Cool, anybody else need communion? We're gonna do something that we did in the first service, be a little bit different. I wanna invite you to stand to your feet. Can I ask you to, I'm gonna help you with this prayer. Week one prayer, search me. We're going to take communion together, but you're going to lead yourself in communion in just a moment. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want you to just take a moment. It'll be silent for just a few moments in here, just a second. And I want you to just ask God to search you. Say, God, would you reveal whatever you want to reveal in my life? Just reveal it. Just ask him. Just say, search me, God. I believe he'll speak to you in just a moment. And then when you're done, you feel like he's searched you. It's a prayer you have to pray all month. But when you feel like you're ready to take communion, I want to invite you to lead yourself in communion. The communion is us remembering the body that was broken for us by Jesus on the cross. And the cup, the juice, reminds us of the blood that was poured out on the cross for our sins. We get, the Bible says there's one way to Jesus, and that's through his son. That's why we take communion. So just ask them to search you.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.